Welcome to the Future of Medicine podcast. My name is Dr. Aaron Wenzel, and my hope is simple, that this show helps you along your journey to become the healthiest, strongest, and most vibrant version of you. This podcast is brought to you by Brentwood MD. Brentwood MD is located in Nashville, Tennessee, and provides best-in-class concierge primary care. Learn more about our innovative approach to primary care at brentwoodmd.com. Now, let's explore the future of medicine. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the Future of Medicine podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Aaron Wenzel, joined as always by the lovely and talented Jennifer Justice.
Hello, Doc.
Hello. Welcome to the next episode. It is always a pleasure to do these, especially doing them with you.
Thank you.
This episode is called Perfectionism, how it fuels shame in high achievers and why it's essential to embrace imperfection in order to be healthy. It's a topic that in our world comes up early and often, this idea of achieving the ideal outcome in all things all the time. And it feels like the right thing to do. It feels like that should be a standard part of achievement. Mm-hmm. But what we end up finding is that perfection and perfectionism, although our current culture glamorizes it and really celebrates this notion, it's not real.
Yeah.
And I think at best it's fantasy. At worst it's delusion. Mm-hmm. And it's rooted, in my perspective, in this idea that we're actually in control of most things. Mm-hmm. And through my own personal experience with my family on multiple occasions, I have learned, although I can convince myself I'm in control of most things, reality is I'm in control of very little.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my wrestling coach used to say, attitude and effort, that's all you can control. Mm-hmm. And so you never got a hall pass on poor attitude or poor effort.
Mm-hmm. Or your energy. I would add that one.
Yeah, energy and effort could mm-hmm. potentially be different spins on the mm-hmm. same. Like, what are you bringing to the situation? Mm-hmm. Everything else is out of your control. You can do things and create patterns that decrease risk of outside influence, but it doesn't ever get to zero.
Right.
You can do everything right, and somebody could get distracted in oncoming traffic and come across and hit you. Mm-hmm. We put our lives in the hands of thousands of strangers every day coming to and from work. And it's really an interesting thing. And unless something scary like that happens, we can easily slide into our human brain, which says, I'm smart, I'm strategic, I'm thoughtful. And as long as I follow the path, which I have determined to be my best path, the ideal outcome will happen.
Yeah.
And anyway, I just think it's important to kind of call out why it's a big deal. And I think the real big deal here is that it's an illusion. Mm-hmm. You actually are in control of far less than you think. And if for some reason your happiness or sense of fulfillment, satisfaction, purpose is tied to an outcome that you only in part control, it can be a very dangerous recipe. And lead to a life that feels underwhelming. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this as a topic?
I totally agree. And I think we see it a lot in our practice, manifested in these high achieving individuals that we have the honor and privilege to care for, mm-hmm. that come to us wanting to optimize everything in their life, which, you know, there's no shame in that, there's no harm in that, but I think we get lost in the weeds a lot with not keeping the main thing the main thing. And when it comes to health, like you just suggested or alluded to, you know, you could do everything right, eat well, exercise, drink enough water, sleep is great, you know, all these things, and we could still get a clearly heart test that comes back really bad.
A blind spot.
Right. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really helping our members navigate that when that does happen, because I think they have a very strong will to have this perfectionism, especially with their health.
Yeah, and I would add, just for clarity, we encourage our folks to pursue the optimal. It is part of our DNA. Mm-hmm. To set the ideal optimal future self as your horizon. Mm-hmm. And strive to become him or her. But the nuance here of the message that I hope to be bringing today is, that's great for setting the framework of beginning the journey. Mm-hmm. But we need to understand we will not ever arrive.
Right.
That doesn't mean we don't pursue it. Mm-hmm. It is a subtle but significant shift in the journey, because it looks the same in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Well, then what are you saying? You're saying, well, then go for the optimal? Yeah. But understanding that you won't ever arrive is important, because then it puts the focus on the actual journey, mm-hmm. the progress you're making, who you become along the way, the relationships you develop along the way, the revelation, the impact, all of these things, where the goal then isn't actually to arrive. The goal is to pursue.
Right.
And then be sure to notice the progress along the way. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the magic. Mm-hmm. Like, you need the horizon. Mm-hmm. We need this idealistic version of ourselves, the best version that Aaron could possibly even imagine of himself. I want to go there. I want to let that version of me inform me on directionally how I should be pursuing. But I also understand I will never meet him.
Right.
he's in my fantasy.
Yeah.
But he's aligned with my goals. He's aligned with my values. He represents for me the horizon. Mm-hmm. And it's very useful directionally.
Yeah.
But along the way, there is a journey that happens moment by moment, sometimes in my own quiet time, sometimes with other humans. To be present then, to embrace the journey, embrace the challenges, and really this who I'm becoming as I pursue this idealistic, perfect, unachievable version of me. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to make that point.
There's nothing wrong with pursuing better.
Is there an experience in your life that you would feel comfortable sharing? I mean, I can think of a lot for myself, but like for you, is there something that you can remember being tied up in the outcome and somehow having a negative experience versus moving off the outcome, but more the journey?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, and I hope it's not repetitive here, but you know, my weight loss and fitness journey over the years has taken shape and has looked very different than it does now. And it's by all means not perfect.
Yeah.
But in the past it would be, you know, really focusing on which diet is best, you know, the next thing, the next, you know, is it Weight Watchers? Is it, you know, some sort of program that I could follow? And then you get into the 30-day challenges and things like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've really had to divorce myself from the number on the scale and tying that to my worth and my validity as a human being. Mm. That, as you've taught me, that's the gravitational pull on my body, which it's a very important number. Mm. But and I use it to make adjustments. Uh-huh. But I don't use it as much to say Jen's a bad person. If
you don't use it anymore to inform you on aspects of your character.
Right. Yeah.
Or your worth.
Yeah. Because that perfectionism creeps into that type of journey for me personally, mm-hmm. Where, you know, we were talking earlier when it comes to fitness, getting really tied up and being perfect with my workout, you know, the perfect number of reps, the perfect time to increase weight, mm-hmm. you know, am I strength training versus cardio? Is that perfect? All these things. And now it's kind of like, you know what, I'm going to show up and see what happens. And the process of showing up is the journey, right? It's not typically everything that happens in the gym is going to be perfect. It never will be. But that's not the goal anymore. The goal is just get there, see what happens. I don't have to follow a super strict scripted program to get results. So for me, finding joy in that journey has been a blessing.
Yeah.
Because it has freed me in a lot of ways of just the mental gymnastics of it all. Of just, you know, oh, everything has to line up. My macros have to be perfect. My, you know, calories on my watch. I have to close my rings every day. Do I, you know, I mean, I'm still going to get results if I kind of let some of that go.
And as somebody who's sat kind of front row, it's been amazing to watch you, work it out.
Mm-hmm.
In your experience, as you reflect back, as we're sitting here even today, what would you say the biggest one or two or three lessons about your journey? What have you learned?
I think the biggest thing is the difference between being consistent and being perfect. You know, there's it's a subtle nuance, but there is a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, consistency is showing up and doing the thing even when you don't want to. When before, if I wasn't perfect, I would just throw the whole thing to the wind and say, well, I didn't get my workout in today, so I'm done for the week. Or I didn't eat, you know, like my program said I should have, so I'm just going to cheat and have a cheat weekend, and I'll get back on track Monday. You know, we hear a lot of that in the space. And so for me, it's like the 80-20 rule works better. Mm-hmm. And being more consistent over time and seeing the compounding effects of that versus holding myself to the perfection of the thing. And then if I'm not perfect, I just say, well, I just can't do it. I'm just going to give it up.
In that former you, what do you think that was rooted in? What do you think the,
oh gosh.
Do you think it was maybe an elegant way to look at something? If I can't be perfect, I'm going to do it if I can be perfect, but if I can't, I'm out.
Yeah. I think it's fear of a lot of things, maybe fear of success and also fear of failure. Mm-hmm. You know, well, if I can't be perfect, then I'm a failure. So why even try? Probably a lot of that.
If that was the story before, what do you think, if that was the narrative that you would tell yourself? What's the gen narrative now around your fitness journey? What do you tell yourself?
I remind myself of the reasons why I'm doing it, which are, for me, being the healthiest version of myself that I can be. And my definition of health is very different now than it was back then. You know, it's not to squeeze into the smaller jeans. It's not, I mean, that'd be nice, but sure. It's not to...
vanity metrics matter.
Yeah, yeah. It's really to build my infrastructure physically so that I'm healthy as I age, that I'm, you know, my cardiovascular status is great, my cancer risk is down. Like, I just have a much more mature way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm worth it. I'm worth the work. And I don't know that I felt that way before. So to me now, it's like, you know what, I'm putting in the work that I'm worth, and I'm seeing the results, and it doesn't feel as hard as it did before.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And just your ability to, like, on the cuff talk about it too.
Yeah. I hope it helps people that might struggle like I did.
I'm
and
certain.
Do. I mean, I still fall into old patterns, don't get me wrong, but I'm much more able to recover from those and, like, get back on track.
I don't have a journey like that with that particular subject, but I immediately resonate with the emotional experience. Mm-hmm. If I fill in the blank,
yeah,
with whatever struggle it was.
Mm-hmm.
Where perfectionism was holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that leads to kind of how we would wrap this up, which is, you know, what are some action steps? As I talk about often in some of our episodes, audit for friction.
Yep.
I think step number one is to reflect, not with the intent to assign meaning or consequence, mm-hmm. but just to be aware of, mm-hmm. to notice. Is there an area in your life, as you're listening to this, where either by virtue of a lack of overall satisfaction or happiness or joy or sense of accomplishment, is there an area that continues to elude you? Mm-hmm. Could be fitness, could be, it doesn't, it could be anything. And you audit for that friction where I am where I am and it's not where I want to be. And there seems to be a pattern in my life where I'm perpetually in this state of either dissatisfaction or pain or suffering or discontentment or potentially even resentment, mm-hmm. Anger. Mm-hmm. And really notice. I think that's the first step.
Yeah.
I think the second step, as I often have said, all progress begins with telling the truth. Mm-hmm. I think noticing doesn't require any sort of effort.
Right.
You can passively notice. Step two does require a little bit of energy, and that is to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just to yourself. Mm-hmm. Lying to others is one thing, but lying to oneself is a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
And I would encourage people to notice and then to be able to tell, to be courageous enough to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And I think in most instances, you probably need help.
Yeah.
Which requires another level of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And ask for help.
Yeah.
The third step is to ask for help. And again, aligning with what we talk about often, which is like, find your team.
Yeah.
And if this, the lack of joy, satisfaction, sense of fulfillment or worth or achievement is somehow rooted with these shackles of perfectionism or control when they don't really exist, mm-hmm. and that they are unachievable. It's this imprisonment,
yeah.
that people can find themselves in. Oftentimes, it takes a real pro, mm-hmm. to help unpack that.
Yeah.
And look, this is from a guy who for 41 years of my life, I was anti-therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, just transparently, I had not noticed it ever being useful. Mm-hmm. I had a handful of anecdotal experiences personally where I'd seen it done wrong. Mm-hmm. And my thesis was it does more harm than good. And maybe possibly it could be done well, but on average, it's not the place you start.
Yeah.
Now at 50, having personal experience with it, therapy done well is not only beautiful, it's probably mandatory for any human as they age through life to deal with aspects of our imperfection.
Yeah.
That ultimately become on some spectrum of traumatic. Mm-hmm. And unpacking that and really getting good at healing from trauma so that we can extract lessons and move forward and really embrace our compelling future. And so...
That's amazing.
Yeah, I think... it's kind of an interesting subject, and I was excited to kind of get into it with you today because I don't identify with being a perfectionist. That said, if I double click on that subject, there are aspects of my life where I care more about levels of achievement. Mm-hmm. And those areas, when I sense I'm underperforming, are uniquely disruptive to me. Mm-hmm. And I can see where perfectionism, if that's your nature, because it gives you a sense of control.
Oh yeah.
My life growing up until I joined the Army was like some version of loving chaos.
Right.
And so I don't know that I ever had a real sense where I was in the driver's seat. I was kind of just feeling it out. Mm-hmm. Other people will have experiences where early on they learn that unless they take perceived control of the situation, it's not safe. Mm-hmm. And my experience is those people tend to be a little more vulnerable to perfectionism into adulthood, kind of systemically, potentially mm-hmm. even. But I'm certainly sympathetic to it. And I, you know, professionally, we see it really, really successful people. There's this one area of their life that they just eludes them.
Yeah.
And they're, if you dig a little deeper, it's not only not achieved this sense of like satisfaction, but it's almost like it's a hot spot for them.
Mm-hmm. You find that they don't want to talk about it much? Or?
Sometimes they've got stories built around it. Mm-hmm. And it's just an unhealthy place to be because it's like being imprisoned. It's like the experience you crave is being held prison and hostage to an outcome that is unachievable.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no fix. And I heard someone say one time, like, to get breakthrough, things have to break.
Oh, yeah.
And this belief that we have total control for many people is the thing that has to break.
Mm-hmm.
But if you feel safe believing you're in control, it can be very scary, which mm-hmm. is why oftentimes it's going to need some help, some real professional help. I hope this is useful for people. Mm-hmm. I hope somebody listening to this will reflect on their experience in their life and be curious if there are areas of friction where satisfaction, happiness, joy, fulfillment, purpose are kind of always missing
mm-hmm.
or almost there
yeah.
or one milestone away. But yet when you get there, the horizon keeps moving and you notice that like, I'm always looking for around the next corner, but I'm now 50. And like, am I believing some delusional, like this is a weird pattern mm-hmm. where it's just repeating itself.
Yeah.
It could be curious, tell some truth and ask for some help. There may be some underlying perfectionism and some inaccurate ideas about control that once realized could be potentially really freeing.
Oh yeah. I love that.
What are some final thoughts you have? Famous last words from Jen Justice.
Well, I'm just, I guess maybe not famous last words, but just expressing gratitude.
Just famous words.
Gratitude for this topic. I mean, when we were putting this together, coming up with this title and this subject, you know, we've done some updates lately on cancer and heart mm-hmm. disease. And
This is headier,
but mm-hmm. I really like it.
It's heartier.
Yeah, heartier. And, mm-hmm. And I think people are going to get some really great tips from it.
You know, you touched on gratitude, and I'll leave listeners with this. Gratitude is the antidote for so many things.
Mm-hmm. You can't be grateful and angry at the same time, right?
Grateful and anxious.
Anxious, okay.
A human, we can't experience both of those things simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fascinating. And neuroscience proves that out.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is when you're feeling anxious, the last thing on your mind is gratitude. It is a far superior technique to be anchored in gratitude perpetually. And what happens is anxiety has a harder time getting in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quenching the fires of anxiety with gratitude, hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Once it's there.
Yeah.
It's far better to have fortified walls of deep, perpetual living in a state of gratefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety has a really hard time showing up and staying. It might show up, but it's fleeting. It doesn't stay. It doesn't have the firepower to match a heart and a mind that is living in a state of gratitude. So I would hope that for people.
Me too.
All right, Jen, always great. We'll talk to you next time. Hey, everybody. In this episode, Jen and I are going to be talking about perfectionism. This is a really important topic, and we believe that perfectionism fuels the shame in high achievers and why it's essential for people who want to have high achievement in their health journey to embrace imperfection. I hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you so much for your attention. It's the most valuable thing you could ever offer me, and I don't take it for granted. You can find out more about today's episode and all of the other resources we have at BrentwoodMD.com. Be sure to check out all the other content we've created by searching BrentwoodMD on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. If our content has ever provided you with value, it would mean the absolute world to me if you subscribed to our show and left a review. This helps us ensure more people just like you can find our content so they can begin their journey of optimizing health. To learn more about the concierge services we provide our members, visit BrentwoodMD.com. And now for the obligatory disclaimer. This podcast is for general information only and does not constitute the practice of medicine or the giving of medical advice, as no doctor-patient relationship has been formed. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should seek the advice of their own medical professional providers.